Well, hello, 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 Buckhead Church. How y'all doing this morning? Good. I'm so excited. I'm so excited that you're all here in the house. If you're watching online, wherever you are, all of our area campuses, we are so excited that you are joining us today. Today is a big day. Why is today a big day? Number one, because you're alive. You woke up this morning. But it's also a big day because we're wrapping up this series that we've been in for several weeks called What Our World Needs Now. And we've spent the last 9 weeks, I believe, walking through the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. And today is our final Sunday. It's kind of a happy thing and a sad thing. I don't know what emotion you might feel about it. But we're excited about being able to dive in this today. And I have truly, truly enjoyed this study on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you probably know them all by memory now. There are a total of 9 of them. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Y'all are good. Gentleness. And today is the last one. We are going to be talking about self-control. Yeah, I heard the enthusiasm in the room. I did. I heard it. I'll admit, when I was asked to participate in this series, I was really pretty excited. I have known about the fruit of the Spirit since I was a kid. My parents were those super Jesus people, and so we had all of our wall decor with scriptures all the time. And so we had this wall decoration up in the house with the fruit of the Spirit on it. And in fact is, I actually have one in my house now. So I was pretty anxious to hear which fruit they were going to give me. So I said, yeah, I'd love to participate. And so I waited anxiously to find out which fruit I got. There's so many wonderful ones. And then I get the email back. And it said, you got self-control. And I was like, really? Really, God? You got jokes. Like, really, you want me to talk about self-control? You really want me? You're asking me, April Farmer, to talk to people about something that, truth be told, I literally, to this day, struggle with. It's a challenge for me. But I started to wonder, how did self-control even make this list? I mean, if you think about it, the other words are so musical and lovely and kind of dainty even, you know, like an infomercial. You've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. And then it's like, self-control. Like, where did that one come from? It doesn't even seem to really fit in this list. But I humbly accepted my assignment, and here I am today to share with you why I totally agree that what our world needs now more than ever are Christians who live out the spiritual fruit of self-control. Now, all of the fruit that we've talked about have been identified as what is or should be produced in us as followers of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And there are a couple of things, though, that I thought about in reference to self-control specifically. The first thing that I noticed is that it's the last item on the list, which could be observed or thought about as something that is of lesser importance. In fact, I want to show you the wall hanging from my house. This is a picture of the wall hanging in my house. Notice something about this picture. Y'all already see it, don't you? It's like love and joy are big letters and dark font. And then just as you keep going down the list, it's like, oh yeah, and self-control. It's like this so small, insignificant thing. And it actually reminded me of when I go to the eye doctor. You know, when you go to the eye doctor, yeah, they've got that sign in the back, right? And they've got these big letters. And you go in there like, oh yeah, I can see 20/20 all right here. And you're looking and you see those and you look between the little lens and you're looking and you're like, yeah, I got this. F, D, K, L, M. Yeah, good. They were like, okay, keep going down. And you're like, Z, O, Q. But you think that it's a challenge to read those small ones, but the doctor's job, it's just as significant for you to see what's at the bottom as it is that thing that's at the top and real big and real obvious. So while you may go in and you'll see love and joy and peace and patience, you're like, yeah, I got this. But God wants us to fine-tune our eyes to pay just as much attention and to give just as much clarity to the fine print of self-control. So that's the first thing I noticed about it. And I also noticed that none of the other fruit are compound words. None of the other words are put together. Paul didn't say that the Holy Spirit would produce in us self-love or self-joy, self-peace, self-patience, self-kindness, or faithfulness, or gentleness. He didn't say that was about self. Those fruit are primarily others-focused. We benefit as those are developed and expressed to others through us. But the fruit or the focus shifts with self-control. All of a sudden, self-control places an onus upon me to bear a weight of responsibility. So let's take a look at how self-control is defined specifically in the text of Galatians 5 that we've been looking at. Now, the Greek word used by Paul here is ekratia. I had to look that up. You know, I don't speak Greek. But I looked up the word, and it specifically says that it's this. It says the virtue of a person who masters their desires and passions, especially their sensual appetites, and the expression of them in one's behavior. So we think about the virtue of a person who masters their what? Their desires, their inclinations, their impulses, or our longings, and also our passions, things like anger and love. And the definition was very specific to highlight appetites, those sensual appetites, things like food or sex. All of that is included in this particular definition of self-control. Now, why is this so important? Because all of us have desires, all of us have passions, and all of us have appetites. It's common to the human experience. And we have made statements like, you know, something just came over me and I just couldn't help myself, right? We've said that. Or we said such and such happened and I just totally, completely lost it. I just couldn't control myself anymore. In fact, we actually sing songs talking about control or self-control. You know, songs like, you make me wanna lose control. I heard you. I know you know the song. Yep, y'all know that song. Or there's another one that's really popular right now. I lose control. Yeah, I know you know it. It's a very popular song. And if you think about it, I'm sure right now there's all kinds of songs kind of going through your head about control. And then even as we think about advertisements, even since our childhood, there's that, bet you can't eat just one. Lay's potato chips, y'all remember that one? Or one pop, once you pop, you can't stop. Y'all love Pringles, just like me. We all have these desires and these appetites, and we are drawn into this way of living that says, hey, it's okay. Indulge, treat yourself until your physical body is completely out of control. Or, hey, it's okay. It was just a little bit of money, or it was just a small white lie, until you find yourself or your company under investigation for embezzlement or fraud. Or, hey, you deserve to be happy. You shouldn't have to live like that. Do your thing. Do what you gotta do, sis, bro. Do what you gotta do. Until the person that you lose control with isn't your spouse. What if Paul listed self-control last on purpose? What if our ability to successfully walk out all the other fruit are tethered to our ability to master or to control our own personal desires, passions, and appetites? What if it's all connected? And if you're anything like me, perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, dang, April, that's the hardest one. I know, trust me. But why is it the hardest one? Why is it so difficult? And we ask ourselves this question, why is it such a challenge? But I want us to remember something. There is a war going on. Galatians 5:17, we've seen throughout this series, it says this. It says, for the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. And hey, guess what I've realized? The flesh doesn't fight fair. How do I know? Because of one simple word. One word that we're all very, very familiar with. Temptation. And it's not they ain't too proud to beg temptations. It's temptation. And you want to know why self-control is so hard? Because each and every one of us, every day, we are all tempted to lose control all the time. And for many of us, we even give control away. We didn't lose it. We give it away. And Paul continually tells us time after time, walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, over and over and over again. Why does he keep saying this so many times? It's because he knows that we will always be tempted to satisfy our flesh, which is in direct opposition to the Spirit of God that is in us. But April, you don't understand. I can't help it. I've tried to stop. I can't help it. Something, it's just too much for me. Sometimes it's just too much. Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing. I still sometimes think the same thing. But several years ago, I decided I wanted to kind of grow in my spiritual disciplines. And so I joined a spiritual life group with about 15 women, and we worked on spiritual disciplines. There were five that we were focusing on, but one in particular was scripture memory. And so by the end of the year, you were required to quote verbatim 52 scriptures. It was hard, but we did it. But there was one particular scripture that stood out to me that really grabbed my attention. It actually hit me in my gut, and it changed everything for me when it comes to things like self-control. And I want to share that scripture with you. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 13, and 14. It says this: the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. This is a game-changing scripture. I absolutely love this scripture. Do you hear what it's saying? Do you hear it? It's so loud and so clear, but I want us to break this down because this truth is attached to freedom for many of us today. So it starts off, it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experienced. In other words, you're not the first and you won't be the last. In fact, it actually started in the garden. See, our enemy, he does not have new game. He has old game. He's not that smart. He comes with the same thing all the time. And if you think about the things that tempt you in your life, it's always that same area. He's coming for us in the same place. And Paul is saying that there is no temptation that you're experiencing at any given point in time in your life, past, present, or future, that's new. Nothing is new. And that should be encouraging for us. It should dispel this lie that we say in our head that tells us that nobody understands how we feel. Nobody understands how hard this is for me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. This should dispel that completely. And then Paul goes on and says, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. God is not out to ruin our lives or to make life hard for us. That is not his job. That is not his desire. He is for us. He is with us every single step of the way. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he says that we can stand. We can get through this. The question is, who are we gonna believe? Our desires, our appetites, our longings, or are we gonna believe God? And then Paul continues and he says, when you are tempted, this always stands out for me. Not if, when you are tempted. Know that temptation is coming. When you go off to college, know that temptation is coming. When you get a new job, know that temptation is coming. When you step into a new relationship, know that temptation is coming. Know when they're building that new building down the street, that new restaurant, know that temptation is coming your way. Don't fall for it. But what does Paul say will happen when that temptation comes? He says, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. He doesn't say it'll go away. He says he will show you a way out. In other words, look for the escape. It's there. It's always there. When I look back over my life and I think about the areas that I struggled in when it came to temptation, there was always a way out. Every single solitary time, there was an opportunity to say no. There was an opportunity to turn down the offer. There was an opportunity to go the other way. And when we see it, Paul says in the next verse something I love. He says, so my dear friends, what? Flee. It's like Jenny told Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run. If you haven't seen that movie, you got to go watch it. And I know it's easier said than done. I absolutely know that. And Paul seems to say it so flippantly, like, yeah, so my dear friends, flee. It seems so simple. But why is it so challenging sometimes? Why is it so difficult? I believe Paul gave us a clue as to why in the beginning of Galatians 5. You see, before Paul ever told us about the opposition between the flesh and the spirit, before he ever told us to walk by the Spirit, before he ever shared with us the fruit that we should bear as a result of the power of the Spirit within us, he reminded us of what I think we often forget. And it keeps us from fleeing. It keeps us from taking our out. And that is this, is that Christ has set you free. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ set us free. And I have to calm down every time I see this because this excites me so much. For freedom, Christ set us free. What is freedom? Freedom is the liberty to do the right thing. Freedom is the liberty to make the right choice or to omit that which has no relationship with our salvation. We are free to choose. In other words, Christ set us free so that we can live free. Christ set us free so that we can choose to flee. Free to flee from being unloving. Free to flee from being overindulgent or stingy. Free to flee from being mean or hateful or lying. And free to flee from sexual immorality. We've been made free. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to demonstrate to the world what living free looks like. That's why he came. He shed his blood and died on the cross to pay the price required for what? Our freedom. And he rose from the dead with all power and all authority over death and darkness and bondage so that we can live free. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of those who choose to believe in him and follow his way so that we, all of us who have within us this Spirit, can walk in freedom and walk by the Spirit and live free. And knowing all of this, Paul continues and he says, stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, I got to tell you something. I didn't like Paul for a long time. I didn't. He was not my friend. I felt like he was a little harsh. But as I kept reading and studying for this, and I'm reading Galatians 5 over and over and over again, I heard his heart towards us. I heard his heart towards believers. He says, stand firm. Christ has set you free. So what? Stand firm. He gives two very clear directives. Stand firm. Stand firm. It means to keep one's standing. Maintain your allegiance to your freedom. I looked it up. It says, stand firm means to maintain your allegiance to your freedom. And just as we stand and pledge allegiance to our country that we live in, Paul is reminding us that as followers of Jesus Christ, the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, stand firm. Stand boldly and maintain your allegiance to the freedom that we've received by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Maintain our allegiance to your freedom to love your neighbor as yourself. Maintain allegiance to your freedom to have unspeakable joy and full of glory. Maintain allegiance to your freedom to be kept in perfect peace. Maintain your allegiance to your freedom to be patient with those that you love, that those are around you, and with others. Maintain your allegiance to your freedom to be kind and good and gentle in a world desperate to be shown pure and real and holy things. Maintain your allegiance to your freedom to be faithful in your relationships, and maintain your allegiance to your freedom to walk in self-control. Stand firm, he says. Shoulders back, head held high. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul says, stand firm. And then what else did he say? Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. Don't submit means don't be held or entangled or ensnared again to the bondage that comes from slavery to our flesh. Don't give authority over your life to your desires, to your passions, or to your appetites. Remember that you are free. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. We are free to walk in self-control. You know, every time I get an opportunity to speak, I'm such an open book, and I always like to share, you know, applicable examples of what things look like. And so I was thinking through my life, and y'all trust me, I got plenty of examples that I could share. But there was one that just stood out for me, but it's not mine. And I wanted to read this story to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 4. And I want to share this story with you because I think it's the epitome of self-control, walked out and lived out for our example. It says this: Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He answered, It is written, Man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will give His angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus told him, It is also written, Do not test the Lord our God. Third time again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And he said to him, I will give all these things to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus told him, Go away, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and began to serve him. That is the epitome of self-control. And why did Jesus endure that? Notice it was the Spirit that led him into the wilderness for the very purpose of being tempted. Why did he do that? Why would the Spirit lead Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted? Make him fast for 40 days and then let the enemy tempt him? Why? It is for freedom. Your freedom and my freedom. So that we would no longer feel this inclination and this boundness to the sin of our flesh, to the longings and the urges and the appetites of our flesh that says, I can't help it. Jesus is saying, yes, you can. You can do it. He's not asking us to participate in what he himself has not already done. And what I love so much about that is how he fled. What was his tool? How did he escape? What was the out that he took? It is written. The word of God was his escape. The word of God, it is written, was his way out of every temptation that the enemy brought to him. And I submit to us today that this same word is our escape every time we are tempted. In whatever area it is for you, whatever area, you know what it is. Too many M&Ms. A bad relationship. Cursing your wife out in front of your kids. Whatever it is, he knows. But it's his word that gives us the ability to stand firm. Why? Because we've been made free. So I want to challenge you today to put 1 Corinthians 10:13 to memory. If you don't remember any other word, put that one in your memory. Any translation you want. When I memorized it, it was the NASB. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. But along with the temptation, he will always provide a way of escape so that you can be able to endure it. So when temptation comes, what do I say? There is no temptation that has overtaken me except such as common to man. And there is a way out, no matter what it is. I have a tool. You have a tool. It's the same one Jesus used. So I want to encourage you today to use that tool and also to remember that you are free. We are free to walk by the Spirit. We are free to choose to walk in self-control, to live a life that is exemplary of the Christ that died for our sins. And you may be in the room today and you're like, April, I'm not free. I don't feel that freedom. I feel bondage. I don't know that that Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me. Well, today, all that can change. Christ died to set you free. He paid the price for every sin we could ever commit so that we could walk in freedom, so that the watching world could see our good works and do what? Glorify our Father who is in heaven. That is why we've been made free. So that other people can see our freedom and want to be just as free as we are. But when we forget that we're free, what our world sees looks no different than where they are. But if you want that freedom today, it's available to you. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that Christ raised him from that God raised him from the dead, and we can be saved. It's just that simple. Invite him into your life and say, hey, I want this freedom that you died for. Christ, God, would you come live into my life? Would you come live in my heart? And for those of us who are already following Jesus, but we on the struggle bus with this self-control thing, remember you're free. Stand firm. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted is the same powerful Holy Spirit that lifted and rose him from the dead. And right now, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for everything that could ever come for us. And we are free. So remember you're free. Stand firm in your freedom, and don't submit again to the bondage. That's not what Christ has for us. So today, let us walk in freedom, the freedom that we've received from Jesus Christ, to walk by the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. Can I pray for us? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for doing the work that we could never do. God, it's hard to live in this body. It's hard to live in this flesh. It's hard to make the right decision. And we mess up all the time, and we're so grateful for your grace that is new and your mercies that are new every morning. But God, sometimes we slip and fall because we forget that we're free. So God, help us remember that we are free. Free to follow you, free to choose to walk in freedom, free to choose to live in love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and in self-control. Give us the courage and the boldness to walk as citizens of the Most High God, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And God, for those areas where we're struggling, help us to submit those to you, to be honest with you, to ask for your help, and to remember that just as Jesus did when he was tempted, he reminded that tempter of your word. Help us hide this word in our hearts. Help us remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken us except what is common to man. And you are a faithful God. You will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to withstand it. And along with the temptation, you will always provide a way of escape. God, help us to see the way out and to take it. Not just see it, but to take it, to flee, so that we can be able to endure. So that a world that is watching doesn't see our frailty, but they see the strength of the Holy Spirit of God lived out in our lives. We need you now more than ever. God, help us to walk in the freedom that you died for. We bless you and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.